This sermon is looking at the book of Exodus, chapter 12. This is part of the beginning of walk by faith as it pertains to Moses. We list it as Passover preparation because that's in fact what they are doing. And looking at beginning with chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And I'm just going to read a few words from the third one. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying. Now, this is changing things from before, because remember right back when Moses first came to back to Egypt, and he brought Aaron with him, and they brought together all the important, the heads of the families in each tribe, and there he told them through Aaron that God had sent him there to bring them up out of Egypt, to return them unto the land where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had sojourned for so many years. That was what they were supposed to be doing. They were going to be leaving Egypt. And now he's telling them things to do. See, before he was telling them, these are the things that are going to happen. He even told them, for instance, that Pharaoh would resist them with a very high hand, that he was going to do everything possible to keep them from leaving. And the first thing that happened to them, and they didn't like it at all, was the first thing Pharaoh said when he heard that he was supposed to let Israel go. He said, "Who is?" And because the Lord said it. He says, "Who is the Lord? I know not the Lord." And he didn't. He was going to, but he didn't yet. And so he decided they needed more work that they were too lazy. They were doing nothing. They were just wanting to get out of work. And so he added more work to them. And they didn't like, and beat them because they did not accomplish all the tasks that had been given them. And so the people who were beaten, the heads of the families again, turned to Moses and said, "You have made us to sink in the nostrils of Pharaoh. Leave us alone that we may serve Pharaoh." But you see, that wasn't God's plan. It didn't make any difference what they said. And as I've said before, the beginning at that particular point, it was Moses, as God spoke to Moses and told him what to do, time after time after time, until it came the time for Israel to leave Egypt. This is how it was. Now, so what changed? Why would he speak to them? Why would they listen? Why would they listen? I mean, after all, they didn't listen at the beginning. Why would they now? But if we look at what had occurred in between, we might be able to see some things. For instance, the first three plagues affected everybody, both the children of Israel as well as the Egyptians. But you see, when it came to the plagues of the swarm of flies, God said, "I am separating the land of Goshen. They will have no flies. All the flies will be where the Egyptians live, the rest of the country." And so they had those flies for a period of time. And when that did not convince Pharaoh, God told him about the next plague, a grievous murrain. This was a pestilence. Basically what happened was all the livestock died. Every one of them. That would get your attention, I would think. This began to show the children of Israel, but it didn't happen in the ocean. Only in the Egyptians. Now they began seeing the power of God when they learned of a horrible death of the cattle. And cattle here means all livestock. And it actually mentions them by name. But that wasn't enough. It continues. Then God afflicted the Egyptians with boils. Actually, the name there in that part of Exodus, it uses it banes. But if you find right underneath there, it also describes them as being boils. And so they had boils all over their bodies. And that's a big mess. And the Egyptians didn't look very pretty. The children of Israel saw these things. They had seen and heard of all the cattle dying, all the livestock dying. They had heard of the swarm of the flies. They had heard about the aching and everything else associated with boils that the Egyptians were suffered through. And then we come to the fourth one, a grievous hail. Now, this was slightly different than the others because this time Moses told Pharaoh, send and tell the people to keep all their livestock and everything possible that they can inside. Keep your animals inside. Now, not everybody listened to that. And so when the hail came, there were people who lost all their livestock again because they didn't bring them inside. They might later. But you see, there were people who feared the word of the Lord. People who feared what Moses, feared Moses and what he said, because they didn't want to experience all these things that they were experiencing. And they began to believe that he had something to do with it. So when he says, put your, like, keep everything inside, that means men and beasts. He did that. And they didn't lose anything. And they were definitely happy that they did. However, you see, the hail didn't just kill just the animals that were outside. It also destroyed all the plants that had grown up. You know, the early spring crops, all of them completely wiped out by the hail. Flax, for example. But on the side, wheat is a later crop, and so it hadn't come up yet. And as a result, they were still on the ground, and so they would come up later. Then came, and we don't know how long it occurs between each one of these plagues. But then came the invasion of locusts. So horrible, so huge. A huge cloud that would almost darken the sky. And they ate everything. And we're talking about plants, also remember trees and how they are affected by hail. And how the limbs would be broken. And that means the amount of leaves is minimal. And even the locusts came around and got that too. And if the wheat was now, if it had been long enough that the wheat was now up, maybe even just a little bit, it would get them all. And then came 3 days of darkness. Again, all of these things are the things which occur. But anyway, and so you have all these things. This is the background, the basis behind these things. Why, it seemed logical that most people would see this. Again, Pharaoh didn't see this. He wouldn't see anything because he thought he was God. And this, he didn't believe Moses. That's rather dangerous to do when God speaks to man and tells him to say something. And so now we come back to the 12th chapter of Exodus. And I might want to mention one thing. After the end of 3 days of darkness, and Pharaoh, Moses is before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh becomes very peeved with him and says, in fact, let's actually go back and look at what he says. The end of the 11th chapter. Actually, we're into the 10th chapter. We'll get it yet. And this is what Pharaoh says, 28th verse of the 10th chapter. And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me, take heed to yourself, see my face no more, for in that day thou seest, when in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, Thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face no more. And we're going to go any more. See if I can find it real quickly. Yes, here we go. And this is okay, and this is what Moses said to Pharaoh. Thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even to the firstborn of the maid servant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against a man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me, and bow down themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee. And after that, I will go out. Now, remember I said Pharaoh was rather angry? Because it said, you know, you shall see my face no more. The day you see me, my face, you will die. Well, all these things I read that Moses said back to him, this describes his feelings. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. So all these things he says is because he was angry. He did not like it at all. So that is a backdrop to this particular situation. And now comes the instructions. Remember I talked about, you know, fear, the last sermon in the general series of beginning a walk of faith, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And now God is adding knowledge to that, because all these plagues were to teach them that God is to be feared. God is to be respected. You don't do things that God doesn't want you to do because you get into trouble. Look at all the things that happened to Egypt. They had done things they shouldn't have done. They had mistreated the Israelites, and now they're suffering for it. So again, going back to verse 3. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall you count the lamb. And he goes on to tell them all the description of how they were to take this lamb on the 14th day of the month, and how they were to slay it at evening, how they were to take the hyssop and put it on the two side posts and on the lintel, which is the top post. And how they were to take the body of this lamb, and they were to roast it. And they were not to dress it. They were not to remove the internal organs. It was to cook the whole thing. And how they were to be dressed that night. And the importance of the blood. The blood be a token where the Israelites are, and God says, okay, going back, verse 12, chapter 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now that would catch a person's attention too, don't you think? I mean, they've seen all these things that God had done to Egypt. And now they're saying, put the blood on the two side posts and across the top. And as long as it's there, I will pass over that house where that is. And I will not destroy the firstborn living in that house. Remember back the grievous hail? The word was sent to them, you are to bring all your animals inside and all the people inside. No one is to be outside during that hail. And so now we're talking about no one to be outside during this last plague. And then further instructions. And these are the things they are supposed to be doing after the Passover occurred. And then verse 15. Okay, back up. Pardon me, I'm reading a little bit. Okay, verse 14. And talking about the day that they keep the Passover, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generation. You shall keep it a feast for an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day, this is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. That means a holy gathering together to worship. And in the seventh day, there shall be a holy convocation. Both of these are special Sabbaths, high Sabbaths. And it is the 15th day of the month of Jesus that followed the death of Jesus. And so, and again, I mentioned this before, when Jesus was buried and shortly thereafter the sun set, and it said the Sabbath drew on, it was speaking of the first day of the Feast of First Fruits. Have a holy convocation. Holy convocation on the seventh day. No manner of work shall be done in them save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. These were special Sabbaths, different from any other Sabbath during the year. The Lord's Sabbath, which is every seventh day of every week, the seventh day of every week, which ran from Friday night to Saturday night, was the Lord's Sabbath. They were to prepare their food ahead of time. Now, if you remember, this is going forward a little bit, but we'll get that when we get back to there later anyway. And that is the fact that when they ran out of food and God started providing them with manna, He provided them with manna Sunday through Friday. And on Friday, they were to gather twice as much, and they were to prepare it that day. And what they ate on Saturday had to be prepared on Friday. And this fits in with that too. The fact that it doesn't fit in with that, because these say you can provide for your meals. You can fix meals. That's it. All the other requirements of you resting and keeping God and making it holy, doing the things which God requires of doing what is proper, worshiping the Lord, And now verse 17. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the same self day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generation by ordinance forever. That's the 15th day. In the first month, the 14th day of the month of the year, you shall eat unleavened bread until the first or 20th day of the month at eve. During that entire time, no leavened bread. You shall eat nothing leavened, and all your habitation shall you eat unleavened bread. And Moses called the children of Israel and said to them, draw out and take ye a lamb according to your family and kill the Passover. Now we're up, this is now the evening, and this is now the 13th day of the month. And kill the Passover. And you'll take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel. Actually, this would be the 13th, but that's the killing process. Would be right evening. Dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and two side posts with the blood, and so forth. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood, he will pass over the door. Okay. But verse 24, and ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. Again, the Passover forever, every time, on the 14th day of the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, that was forever. That was a high Sabbath. Notice the Passover is not a Sabbath, but the first day of unleavened bread, Feast of Unleavened Bread, is this. Seventh day, the 20th day, is. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Now, again, as I mentioned, all of these things would seem to me to push people towards the idea when God says do something, you know, especially as serious as it might mean living or dying, they might do that. It is also quite possible, and I won't disagree with this any way, shape, or form, and it might actually be more closely to the truth. And that is that God influenced them, that God worked in their hearts and made sure that they would actually do what he said. Sometimes God does this. If he wants something done a certain way, he will impress a person so much so they will do that. I know personally because I have had that happen. It was back in 69. This was 10 years earlier. The God had called me to preach. All I had at the time was a New Testament and the Psalms. But as you see, in the first part of September, I got this feeling, I have to have a Bible, I have to have a Bible. This feeling came from outside me, it wasn't within. I didn't understand why, but it was still there, and I sort of put it off a little bit, but it got stronger. And so I finally did it. You know, I didn't have any more problems after that, in terms of that. And I started reading the Bible. That way I could read both Old and New Testament as well as the Psalms. And so we have the actually. And now comes, push comes to shove. Children of Israel have killed their Passover. They have taken the blood and put it on the two side posts and across the lintel. They have closed those doors. They have kept everybody inside. And it is the person who is the head of the home was responsible for keeping everybody inside regardless of what they wanted to do. That was their responsibility. Now, All is happening. Meanwhile, the Egyptians, they may be worried about the fact that if they have heard about this coming plague and about the fact the firstborn were going to die, they may have heard all this. But you see, God didn't tell them the remedy like he had back with the grievous hail. God told them what to do to avoid that hail. If they did, fine. If they didn't, that's fine too. But when it came to this plague, he didn't tell them. They were not instructed in any way, shape, or form. And so every one of the firstborn of Egypt died. That's people and animals. And as family after family, people died. And the screams and the howls were going out all over the land. Now verse 31, talking about Pharaoh. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get ye forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. And also take your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also." And if this is in the middle of the night. But you see, Pharaoh, he didn't see Moses. Remember, I read a little earlier. Pharaoh says, "If you see my face again, you die." And Moses says in great anger, "No, we won't see each other again. Your people will come down." And so his people came down. Pharaoh sent people to him, telling him, "Get up. Rise up, get you forth, go. Take everything." But you see, there's another effect upon the Egyptians. And this is through the, remember I said this a few minutes ago, the fact that God sometimes influenced people. Well, here it is. And it wasn't just the children of Israel. It wasn't just his chosen people. It was the Egyptians. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For he said, "We all be dead men." They greatly feared. I mean, they had seen all these losses, and now suddenly the firstborn of every family is dead. They wanted to get these people out, and whatever it takes to get them out. And they even offered to give them thanks. And the children of Israel borrowed things as well. As it says in verse 35, "And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment." They borrowed things. And they spoiled the Egyptians. They took all these things. And so, as the sun set that day, as the Passover ended, because this is what was happening during the actual day of the Passover. They were gathering in all these things, and they had to do it in haste because they were getting ready to move out. In verse 37, it says, "And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men besides children. And the mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, and even very much cattle." All these things, just as Moses had said. And this was the very night. Now let me read on. I'm going to skip 39, because it talks about the unleavened cakes. Because they were so urgently required to get all these things done, they didn't have time to make new dough to allow it to leaven, because they were busy getting ready to leave. And so this was all done in a rush. So verse 40. "Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the same day it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night. This is the same day. Day in this case is day and night. But in verse 42 it says, in the same night, it is a night to be much observed unto the Lord, bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel and their generations. This is the night that God spoke of when he told Abraham in chapter 15 of Genesis that they would be in another nation and they would be serving that nation. And they would be judged. They would be slaves, if you please. And God would judge that nation and God would bring them forth. This is the night God spoke of. And then we have further instructions with 43. This is the ordinance of the Passover. Again, more instructions, because these are things they needed to know, because these are the things they needed to continually do week and year after year. This is the ordinance of the Passover, there shall no stranger eat thereof. Now, we'll get into that. This gets a little bit more detailed as we read into the next couple of chapters. At this point, he says, strange. That means any Egyptian, for example, is not to eat thereof. People, but there were restrictions and there were exceptions. It's not mentioned yet. A foreign or a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shalt thou break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. Not some, not most, all. A-L-L. Now, here comes the part about strangers. When a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. See, that is the detailed part when it says no stranger shall eat. This is what it's talking about. No stranger that is uncircumcised. It has to be somebody who is serving the Lord. And that's the purpose of the circumcision in the first place. A statement that this person who is circumcised will keep the law. He will do what is required of him of God. He will obey God's voice. And again, it says, and it came to pass. Okay. Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. All the things that it required, God was involved with this as well, in terms of impressing them to do the things they heard God say, heard Moses say. And it came to pass the same day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, by their armies. So goes to chapter 13. Remember he said that the firstborn shall die? Well, the firstborn becomes a very important part too. And Moses spake unto the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, it is mine. Now, more instructions on what they should be doing. They are going out. They have actually left. They are now under the pillar of fire, and they will be for as long as God directs them till they are going to be stopping for the night and for the day. Okay, verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Again, reinforcing the points earlier. From Passover, the evening, which is the beginning of Passover, until the 21st day, no leavened bread. Only unleavened bread was allowed. They came out of the month of Abib. Now, we'll find in later, after the Babylonian captivity and after the people come back, like in Ezra and Nehemiah, you'll find the term, I may think of it later, but it's a different term, a different name that they gave, and it means something different. Abib means open, and it refers to the fact this is a time when the barley is ripe. When the barley starts opening, the kernels start opening up, and this is why the month of Abib, originally when they first started determining when each year started, the first day of the first month started, they would look up, every day at the barley in the field and see whether they found any of it kernels opening. And if they did, when the new moon came, if it did by the time of the new moon, if it was already open or beginning to open on the new moon, then that began the new year. And that's the reason for the name, open. It refers to opening of the barley. And it shall come to pass, as shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days shall thou eat unleavened bread, and the seventh day shall be a feast unto the Lord. And it continues on. But here's the important part. He's already teaching these things, but I want to go down to the verse 8. I mean, he's talked about these things, he's mentioned a couple of times before. But verse 8, and thou shalt shew thy son in that day, saying, this is done because. See that word? Because. He's telling his son why. And this is something that's important when you're teaching somebody. And they should be teaching their children these things. They need to teach them why. Why are we doing these things? Remember, I have read in your hearing the saying that God says this is, should be, you should keep this ordinance in its time, in its month, every year. And now it says, you speak to your sons and you say, because of this. This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. To understand, I'm alive because of him. I am no longer in Egypt because of the Lord. And it shall be, and we'll continue on reading, and it shall be for a sign unto thee and to thy hand, and for a memorial between thy eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth, and for a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. That the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. If it's in your mouth, and that means you're speaking about it. And so this is what we should be doing. Even today, when it comes the time in the spring of the Passover, the crucifixion of Jesus, is something that should be in our mouths. It's something that we should talk about. It's something we should be able to explain to the next generation why these things are the way they are. Why we can look forward to the things we can is because of what the Lord has done. And so continue on down to verse 11, because we got more things to look at. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh forth of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. No ifs, no ands, no buts. The firstborn, males, these are the ones that belong to the Lord. It doesn't make any difference which it is. Now, that's that part, first part. We'll find out later in Exodus that this is slightly changed. And this involves the Levites. We're not getting into that just yet. Now, the purpose for the clean animals, the firstling, the firstborn, is to be sacrificed unto the Lord God. It's in essence saying, Lord, you have provided us with these animals. You have provided the next generation. And now I am bringing to you the first of that next generation. And so then the first is the Lord's, and thereafter all the offspring of those animals that a female animal has belongs to the people where it lives. But the first belongs to God. Always, first thing belongs to God first, and then other people. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among the children shalt thou redeem. Now this is the original. Again, this will be changed. There's a reason for that. Because they weren't quite ready. It wasn't time yet to introduce the Levites as a special part of the service of God. It was hinted at when Jacob, in his dying wishes and statements about what would happen to the children of Israel, he mentioned the fact that Simeon and Levi would both be scattered throughout the others. Levi was scattered, for the most part, they scattered through all the tribes. Simeon was absorbed into the tribe of Judah, and so they were scattered throughout the land which was inhabited by the descendants above the tribe of Judah. Those two tribes became one, in a sense. They still maintained their, you know, their lineage, so they were still either Simeon, of the tribe of Simeon or of the tribe of Levi. I'm sorry. Tribe of Simeon or the tribe of Judah. And again, we're talking about these, the laws of God, the Lord shall be in thy mouth. And verse 14. The next verse. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by the strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt and from the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all of the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and firstborn of beasts. Therefore I sacrificed to the Lord all that opened the matrix, being males. But all of the firstborn of my children I redeem. Here's why we're doing this way. See, here we get this again. Here's why. Now again, I'm reminded of, in the book of Judges, the first one, the first people in the first, second generation, seemingly understood, you know, knew the Lord, and had the knowledge of God, and worshiped God. But you see, somewhere along the line, within a few generations, the generation that arose which knew not the Lord. See, nobody has spoken to them of these things. They didn't know. And so they were doing things that seemed right in their own eyes. It don't work that way. So we are to speak to them. We are, and I say this because I know my personal experience, my parents did not teach us the Bible. Now, back over Thanksgiving weekend, I was at my niece's in Arkansas. And I was surprised in talking to their children just how much they know about God. Lots of things that I had no idea that people understood. The concept of the things that she had made sure that they were taught. It was part of the schooling. And it makes a vast amount of difference to be able to speak to people and they know. Yes, that makes sense because there it is. They have read it. Now, so they understood okay, verse 16. And it shall be a token upon thy hand, and for frontlets between the eyes, and for a strength. For by the strength of a hand, the Lord brought us out forth out of Egypt. This is what he's to tell. This is what the children are to understand. That it was the power of God that they came forth. And they are to remember the things that the Lord had done for them. Even though it seemed... Well, I'm not sure I can finish that sentence, but maybe I better take it back. But they were brought forth, and they were to teach us things. Why are we doing things? Because what God did for us. And it came to pass, verse 17, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. Now, we already know if we've read very much about the children of Israel and their travels through the desert and all the problems they had, that they were constantly trying to find another reason for going back to Egypt. So soon after leaving Egypt, if they saw war all of a sudden, then they would look and they start thinking, well, wait a minute. We'd be better off under Egyptian rule than being killed like this. Or the dangers of being killed. So, no, he had a reason for it. Not only that, but if you remember that Moses was told by God that he would worship him at that mountain. And so they're going a different way. And God has a reason for doing it, by the way, because he always has a reason. And it says it right here very plainly. Why? The area going through the land of the Philistines was not the best way to go. And not only that, but there was a lot of things that they needed to know before they got to the land of Israel, the land of Canaan. A lot more that they needed to be taught. But God led the people through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bone away hence with you. That's one of the things they took with him, the bones of Joseph. Even as Joseph had told them that God would visit them, and they would come forth out of Egypt. At the time, they didn't understand that. Of course we will. But after the years passed on, it seemed like it might be something changed. But it didn't. God made sure that Joseph's bones would be taken back home. And so they journeyed. And going on down through the end of it, the important part is the fact that I mentioned this about the night when they came forth, they were under the pillar of fire. That was at night, so they'd be able to see where they're going, so they wouldn't stumble and fall. And so the pillar was there. But you see, as it became light, as it came to the place where they could see well, then the pillar of fire became an ordinary cloud, or so it would seem. But there's another part to that, and that's the fact that the sun can be rather hot, and so they could dwell underneath the cloud where it would be cooler. And now on to the next chapter. Now we find in the first couple of verses that they're traveling, and I think it's perhaps maybe the third day the Egyptians catch up with them. And God predicts this. And God has a reason for bringing him out here. Because by traveling, see, if they had traveled over towards the Philistines, toward the land of Philistines, the Pharaoh probably would have left them alone. But you see, now they're still close to the edge of the country of Egypt. They still could be brought back. They still could be enslaved, or so he may think. And God's heartened his heart so that he would follow. And God says, I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Pharaoh says, the people said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? They forgot just a few days ago they were burying their dead. Why don't we go and get them? And so their attitude changed again, and the chariots were prepared, and off they went. 600 chosen chariots, and captains over every one of them. And then verse 10 speaks of the children of Israel seeing. There they are, right there at the Red Sea. Actually, and I'll be honest with you, some people think it's actually the Reed Sea. Now, which one it is, it doesn't really matter. They are by the seashore. But all of a sudden, they see this great cloud, and it's coming closer. And suddenly realize, perhaps by some of the ensigns or banners, that may be among the leading chariots, realizing that this is the Egyptian army coming after them. And they're scared to death. They had no idea. And this is the point. Remember a little earlier, God says, I'm going to lead them this way, because if they go in through the land of the Philistines, then when they see war, and there will be war, they run into problems. And so it is now. When they see it, they're crying out. They're scared to death. And all of a sudden, all the things that they had seen God do suddenly leaves their minds. They have forgotten the grievous hail. They have forgotten the locusts. They have forgotten all these things. They had forgotten even just a few days ago that their children, their firstborn, were still alive, but the firstborn of Egypt were all dead. Forgetting all those things, now they were faced with trouble. Now they were faced with battle-hardened people, soldiers. And so some of them come to Moses, the important people. And they said unto Moses, because there is no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us out to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Why are we out here if they're going to just come out here and destroy us? What good did it do for us to leave? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. See, that's all they could see. These were battle-hardened people that they were facing. How in the world are they going to protect themselves? Are their wives? Are their children? They can't do it. From their viewpoint, they've forgotten about the Lord. They've forgotten about the power of God. They're about to see it. And Moses begins this lesson with these words. Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. Forever. All these people you are afraid of, you will see them no more. Forever. They will not bother you again. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. See, this is one of the things that Moses learned throughout all these plagues. And that's the fact of when God told him to do a certain thing, and he did it, the things happened. And they gradually progressed, getting worse and worse afflictions upon the Egyptians. When he spoke according to what God told him to say, horrible things happened to the enemy. God was fighting for Israel and against Egypt. And so it's easier for him to say God will fight for you. It is. And you should hold your peace. And the Lord says to Moses, why are you crying to me? Wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward? It's time to move. We're leaving this area. And he tells Moses to stretch forth his rod. Stretch it over the sea and divide it. Because when you do that, the land will become dry. Israel should go across this area on dry ground. Through the midst of the sea. Right now, the bottom of the sea is rather wet. It's going to be dry by the time you get to it. And he also tells Moses that I'm going to harden these people's hearts. They're going to follow you into the sea. They're not going to come out alive. And I will get, I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. He will have the honor. Look what he has done. Look what he's going to be doing. He's going to destroy them because of their attitude. Thinking, they cross it, we can too. Almost like a problem. God is the one that made it possible for them to cross. He didn't make it possible for the Egyptians. So Israel crossed it. Anyway. Let's go into the details. The angel of the Lord came. And remember, we've got this cloud and the fire. But you see, that night the cloud went and covered between Israel and the Egyptian army. And you couldn't see between the two. Matter of fact, it was completely almost a fog so thick that you can't even walk in and see where you're going. It was that dense. But on the other side, there was a bright light. The fiery cloud, this was one time we had clouds, a cloud as well as a pillar of fire. On the Israeli side, that was a pillar of fire. And so they could see where they're going. They could walk as it went. Now, one particular place, and I can't really find it right now, it speaks of He used the wind to blow this out. But remember, it's God that's doing it. Okay, verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. It's coming from the east. Coming from behind them. Wait a minute. Coming from the east. East is, they're facing east. It's coming, they're blowing against them. As they walked across it, now, the seabed suddenly became dry because of that very dry wind. And the waters were a wall. God created a wall of water on both sides of the area where they were passing through. In the morning, the Egyptians, because that cloud was brought and picked back up, pursued after them, entered into the midst of the sea. All of them were inside. And God made it more difficult. He took the chariot wheels. Took them off. And so the horses were having to pull a chariot over the sand. And that's not a very easy task to do. And so some of them ran, trying to get back because they didn't see how they couldn't go any further. And Moses and the Lord said unto Moses, verse 26, stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the water may come again upon the Egyptians, upon the chariots and upon the horsemen. And Moses did so. And that's exactly what happened. And suddenly they were in areas where the water was deeper than they could stand up. And since they were wearing armor, they couldn't get up to the surface, and they drowned. Meanwhile, children of Israel, with the wind blowing into their face, continued to go. And we find it says, verse 30, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. They could look across the seashore, across to where they had been the previous day, and all they see is littered of men's carcasses. And they saw all this great work. And the people feared the Lord, and the Lord and his servant Moses. This is one of the things, and in matter of fact, in the New Testament, it speaks of people being baptized unto Moses and the sea. This is the baptism unto Moses at the sea. And during the rest of the time, even up to when they arrived at Kadesh Barnea, they had been baptized also unto Moses in all the lessons that he taught them during that year there at Mount Sinai, or most part of a year. And that will conclude this. We're finished with verse 14. We may pick this up next week. We will see.